And we're live, everyone, for a new episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined by Seth Wintraum. How are you doing today, Seth?
Good, Fred.
All right, let's dive in. We have not that many news items today, so if you guys have any questions, make sure to put them in the live stream, and we're going to answer them as soon as possible. But let's start with one that posted today that sort of was buried inside a report about the Boring Company, but I thought the comment was extremely interesting that I led with it instead of the actual new Boring Company project. So interesting, just last week we were talking about on electric about Tesla van, would be a good idea for Tesla to release an electric van. And now it sounds like it's actually in the work, at least based on the word of a county official in San Bernardino. Is that how you call it? Bernardino?
San Bernardino.
Bernardino County. Yeah. All right. So what happens is that the Boring Company really it changes all the plans for the Ontario Airport new connection for transit system. They were looking to at options to extend the transit system in the valley to the airport area. I've never been to the I've been in California for a while. I've never been to the Ontario Airport. Not sure it's a very used one, but it's an international one that apparently, so I'm sure that there are flights probably in Mexico and things like that.
There's a lot of shipping in and out of there.
Okay, it's more for like international airport, the cargo airport. I mean,
yep.
Okay, but yeah, it's a relatively big airport here in the greater Los Angeles region, and they were looking to add a transit line from a local rail line to go all the way to the airport, and the project was going to cost over $1 billion, and they were currently in the middle of a study for it, and the study alone was costing a few million dollars to see if it was viable to do the extension. And then the Boring Company just chipped in and was like, yo, I can do it for $50 million, like a fraction of what you guys are going to pay for the rails. And that was enough for them to shut down the plan to do the rail extension. And they're like, just let's move ahead with the Boring Company. It's just so much cheaper. But as part of that project, so that the announcement was that they killed the study on the new rail extension, and now they're trying to move forward with the Boring Company tunnel. It's going to be a loop similar to the one that they're currently doing in Las Vegas, which coincidentally, we also learned this morning that they are extending to the Strip now. They are the first extension from the convention center to the Strip. But back to the one in San Bernardino, the county official there, Mr. What's his name? Kurt Hagman. He said that as part of the project, the 2.8-mile project, they're going to use inside-the-loop Tesla vehicles, like what they said in Vegas. But in Vegas, they never clearly said, is it going to be an existing Tesla vehicle? Or are they making one for it? They never confirmed it. Mr. Hagman here said that it's going to be the company is working with Tesla to develop electric vans that can seat up to 12 people and their luggage, enlarging the capacity to 1,200 people per day, which I'm not sure that makes sense, 1,200 people per day or 10 million per year, because those figures don't match. It probably means like 1,200 people an hour or something like that. But anyway, he clearly said word for word, Tesla, the company, which is likely referring here to the Boring Company, is working with Tesla to develop electric vans that can sit up to 12 people in their luggage. So that's new information. We've been reporting for years on Tesla's supposed plans to have like a transit vehicle for a higher volume, higher passenger density. So that was back in the master plan part 2 from years ago. If you go back to that plan, actually, virtually every vehicle, that future vehicle that Elon referenced that plan, they ended up doing, or at least releasing the prototype for it, announcing the plans, a timeline for production and everything, except for that high passenger density urban transport vehicle, which Elon previously talked could be a sort of minibus, minivan based on the Model X platform. But that never happened. We never saw anything come out of that. That might be it right there, and might be part of the Boring Company project. And Now the question, the big question is it going to be that? Is it going to be like a Model X-based van type of thing? Or is it going to be a brand new vehicle? I remember back when Boring Company first came out of like Stealth and everything and unveiled what their loop would look like. And they had this vehicle here that we're showing on the screen right now if you're listening audio only. And it's this sort of all glass. It's just like a platform with wheels and all glass body. It's more like the interior feels more like the inside of a subway train or something like that. So is Tesla developing a brand new? I don't think that it could be that because they're calling it a van. I don't think you can call that a van, right?
I mean, I don't know. It's not a van, but
yeah.
Also, the thing at the top is not going to hold 12 people, so somewhere in between, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I find it hard to believe that you could fill 12 people in a Model X base vehicle, even if it's not a Model X itself. I'm saying like if they like change it for, but at the same time, you have to think that my understanding is all those vehicles are going to be completely autonomous. They're going to be operating within the tunnel autonomously. So you don't have the seating configuration that doesn't have two captain seat in the front, driver's seat and passenger seat. So they probably can have more like some kind of bench thing. Probably
so like four rows of three.
Something like that. Or even like rear facing seats, like it doesn't have to be front facing for that. Though they are going fast, they are going up to 127 miles per hour. They said that at least for the San Bernardino project. But yeah, this is exciting. But I would classify it still really as a rumor because that's the only information is from that one guy at the county. But yeah, apparently getting that information from Tesla, from the Boring Company's proposal that we haven't seen yet. So I would assume that it's pretty good information. So it's a rumor, but a very likely one at this point, I think, especially when you take into account everything that Tesla and Elon Musk said in the past about this people mover. I know that you haven't been a real fan of the Boring Company's project and like comparison to just a regular subway system or something like that. But right. I think you would be happy about that. At least that's move a little bit closer to a higher capacity people mover, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a fan of digging tunnels. I think tunnels are good. I'm a fan of, you know, a comfortable and fast. You know, the Boring Company used to be about sucking the air out of, or you know, the Hyperloop is about sucking the air out and going really fast. That's cool. What I don't really like kind of understand is driving cars around tunnels. I don't know. I mean, I guess you need to get where you're going and, you know, like an elevator down in your car and then on the tunnel. That makes sense in LA maybe. Mm-hmm. But like it would just be nice to, like, you know, for instance, here in New York City, having a tunnel from Midtown to the airports, that would be cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I think any city, like the central business district to the airport, that's a no-brainer because like that's what everybody wants to do. Mm-hmm. Hong Kong has a good one of those. I lived in Hong Kong for a year and they had a super fast train that went right from the downtown. It had two stops. And then it was like on the island that had the airport in, you know, like 20 minutes. It was
amazing. Yeah. I mean, there's not a shortage of opportunities to improve public transport virtually everywhere. So anything helps, really. So in this case, what's really what I find very curious is like, is it going to be a vehicle meant to only be used in those tunnels? It's something that, like you mentioned, in the test tunnel that we have in Los Angeles, there's these elevators in and out of the tunnels. Is it something that it's meant to be taken out of the tunnels and then to the end of this destination, which is something that Elon has been talking a lot about, the Boring Company having a system that brings you to your end destination, not just in central areas. But at the same time, you look at what they're doing in Vegas, and in Vegas, it's more... The actual usability of the system is more subway-like, which is you have station, you get your people go to the station, and then the vehicle will move you between station, not to the end destination, because of course it's a convention center. So when you get out from one hall to the other, you don't need to be in a car for that.
Yeah, but Vegas is crowded, right? So like
not now,
not right now, but typically, and you know, there's 747s coming in like a lineup all the time. And if they wanted to have like airport to the strip to the convention center, which why not? Like that's exactly what you would want. Mm-hmm. Why would you do it with like 12 passenger cars? There would have to be like one after another, after another, after another.
But that's like, the idea. Like they do one and then it doesn't need to be full. One of the problems with the subway system in New York, like what led to the coronavirus being such a big problem there too. It's like the density of the public transit. So having like smaller group that could help too.
But that's a once every 100 years problem, I think. We'll see. But frankly, like one of the things I liked about New York was like being in the subway with like all kinds of people, like. Mm-hmm. You know, super wealthy business people, like musicians, like everybody's in there. It was kind of like a fun time. Mm. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen anymore, but, you know, these like, I'm going to be in a car like that. I don't know. That doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But at the same time, the real goal here is to have like a zero emission transportation system that would reduce the use of cars on the road. And I think that it accomplishes that for sure.
But so does the subway.
Yeah.
Like I mean, 100 years ago.
Yes, I mean, for sure. Like, what I would really like, and I think I'm going to push for that now, and if you guys are listening and have like Twitter accounts or something, I know Elon is supposedly halfway off Twitter right now, but try to ask him to post. Apparently, he already has it because he told me he had one like way back in the – when was it? Then they opened the tunnel. Was it like December 2018 or something like that?
No idea. Okay, sounds right.
Yeah, but simulation of what a loop system looks like. Because I think a lot of people are not really understanding, myself included, like really what it would look like at the end result of it in a mid capacity or high capacity one, like not necessarily a Las Vegas convention center one, because I don't think that's really like the end product that they want. It was just like a perfect project to do for them because it's smaller scale and as a proof of concept, and especially to improve their tunnel digging capacity, the boring capacity, which is pretty insane. When you look at the project in San Bernardino, will cost between $40 and $60 million to do that 2.8-mile tunnel. That's cheap. That's really cheap. And I think that also includes like the actual stations and everything. So they're doing something pretty useful. But, of course, your argument here is that why they don't just put like a subway system inside of those tunnels, which is to a fair argument. As long as we don't understand really clearly how that loop system works with independent autonomous electric vehicles operating in those tunnels.
Right.
I think the idea has evolved a lot since it was originally announced. Like when it was originally announced, it was really like a highway, autonomous highway for electric vehicles on the ground. That's right. What it was. And the goal was for electric vehicles to get in and out. I mean, I think we were all shocked when they unveiled that those Model X with the wheels things. Like, okay, that's what it's gonna be now. So, I don't know. It's a very strange situation right now. But I think that new electric van, if it is indeed true, that might shed some light on the entire thing. Really. I'm really excited for it.
Two other things to note. The Paris subway, I don't know if we ever went on one of these, but the Paris subway has subway with like tires. So that's like halfway in between. Maybe that's where we're going to end up. And then the other thing is, it's kind of weird that Elon Musk told Kara Swisher that he has never taken a subway before. I thought that was...
Did he say that?
He told Kara Swisher that in an interview about a year and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Surprising to me because you live in Toronto for a while, and there's subway there. Like, no, that's not right. The university because you see Waterloo, which is outside of Toronto, doesn't it? But he did live in Toronto for a while outside of university. I would assume that you use the subway there or the train at least. Yeah, that'd be surprising. I don't remember him saying that.
I'll look it up.
Speaking of van, GM apparently has its own electric van program. And according to a report from Reuters that revealed the program, they want to, they specifically are making that program to beat Tesla to market with an electric van. And as soon as the report comes out that we hear of that Tesla electric van, so it's kind of weird. But yeah, Reuters says that GM has started an electric van program, and especially for commercial van, I mean, you know, like a delivery vehicle. And the quote, suppliers familiar with such plans at GM and Ford. That's weird. They just threw in Ford in there. Like, and we know already that Ford is aiming to do the transit van electric, but I don't think it was specific about this report because the report was about GM. Mm-hmm. Which counts truck and commercial vehicles among their most profitable business, don't want to leave the door open for Tesla as they did in consumer passenger cars. I mean, we see that now. Like, we see GM, like, Tesla announced the Cybertruck. GM is like, we're going to get a Hummer as soon as the Cybertruck happened and everything. So they're really after Tesla. But I think, like, the one to really watch for on in that department, that segment, I think it's Rivian with their, like, they are the one that have the most money here to make that program happen. Like, with the 100,000 orders from Amazon, that's a multi-billion dollar contract there that they get to build their vehicle program around.
Do you think Amazon's going to let Rivian sell their vans to anybody but Amazon? Like, you know, if UPS said, hey, we like those vans too, can we, you know, buy a few of those?
I would assume that yes. I don't think it's a program just for Amazon, I think. But at the same time, 100,000 orders, it's years of production for Rivian, even in a perfect production ramp-up situation. But then, I don't know, after that, and I mean, the size that Amazon is at this point, like, they're going to probably need even more than 100,000 delivery vehicle within the next few years. And probably they're going to want to, like, adapt that to other markets, too, because you need some homologation. The vehicle's not necessarily the same in the U.S. as they are in Europe and everything. So maybe if Rivian wants to expand in new markets, they can do that with the van. And then it might make sense, because I know Amazon is not as strong in some markets as they are in others. Like, here is, like, the gold standard of internet retails, but the companies that have they don't have as much. They are everywhere now, Amazon, but they don't have as much market share in other market than they do in the U.S. So it would make sense maybe to sell to other delivery services that provide services to those competitors. All right, something that came out last weekend, the accelerated Model Y delivery timeline. So we reported that like 2 weeks ago that Tesla changed the delivery timeline for the Model. Well, they don't change the release a delivery timeline for the first time because there wasn't one before the pandemic because they just started production. So they were still all working with the backlog of orders instead of new orders. So they set it at 8 to 12 weeks. That was 2 weeks ago. Now, last weekend, they updated 4 to 8 weeks. So slashed in half for the faster timeline. And the longer timeline went from 12 to 8 weeks. So that's a very drastic acceleration of the delivery timeline. So or the question here is why? Like, normally there's two reasons for that. Either Tesla increased their production capacity so that they can fill their orders a lot faster. Or the other option is that the demand is way down and now the production capacity is outpacing the demand. Which, in my opinion, if you want my opinion on it, I think both are true in this case. I've heard from plenty of people canceling and or delaying their Model Y orders because of the current economic situation and the pandemic and everything. And also, I think Tesla managed to increase the production capacity, especially during the shutdown. We know that they installed a bunch of new capacity during that shutdown. We reported on a bunch of building permit application for new capacity here. So, yeah, I mean, I think both are true. But from what I'm seeing from like the Tesla investors and everything, like people might have like too big of expectation for Tesla in terms of deliveries here. They're like, oh, they were able to restart production over a month before the end of the quarter. So there's like, oh, they can still like produce a lot of cars. Sure. But I think delivering them will be harder than people think right now. Like people, Tesla never had that much of a dumb-in issue. Like just, it was just like certain times in certain markets where they had inventory and everything and they could get around that. This is different. People are just not buying cars right now.
Right. And the whole supply chains, you know, the supply chain doesn't end at the factory. You got to get the cars on a train. Train has to go across the country. They're prioritizing other things. People have to be there to unload the trains, load the trains, move them onto trucks, all that other stuff. And people obviously at the delivery centers. So, I mean, here's anecdotal evidence. I've had an order in for quite a bit, since pretty much Model Y day, and still waiting for mine. So,
yeah, I think there's some like no one even reached out to you like, hey, do you want to change your white interior and then you're going to get your car sooner or something like that?
Not yet.
Because I heard of that. I got several reports from owners that they get reached out to and they're like, hey, I know you want this configuration, but we can do it. So especially the 7-seater configuration. A lot of people are being told like, you sure you need 7 seats? Because we can get a 5-seat to you pretty fast. So, yeah. I mean, I think also at the same time that change in delivery timeline is also Tesla, like trying to welcome orders that more orders from people that want the car sooner, and then they think, okay, at least we can try to deliver them by the end of the quarter, because when that change was made, it was still right before June, so 4 weeks we'll get the car to you by the end of the quarter. So Tesla just wants those order in. And try to do that because
entice some people. Yeah. Maybe they're going to make a crap load of a standard configuration and actually get those in the shorter time period.
Yeah, that's true too, because we know that one of the easier car to bring, like if Tesla really needs to sell cars, I know they don't want to do that right now because probably the gross margin on the Model Ys are just not high enough that it would make sense for them. But we know how easy it is for them to make a standard Range Plus Model Y at this point because the powertrain is already being done for the Model 3 and the body is already being done for the long range and performance Model Y. So they just have to combine the two together and then boom, they have the new car. Probably they have to, it's that easy for the production process, but it's not that easy. Like they have to do EPA approval and everything for the new version.
Right.
But still, we know that's most likely going to be Tesla's best sellers for the next few years, right? The standard Range Plus Model Y. Yep.
What's that?
I think the Tesla's best-selling configuration for the next few years is going to be a Tesla Model Y Standard Range Plus.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because that one's going to be closer to like $45,000, which is a big drop from, 53 right now? Yeah, 53 for the cheapest Model Y. Best form factor, and for people that just don't need that 300-mile range, probably going to be closer to a 250.
Right.
Great. Yeah, maybe not 250, because what's the Model 3 range on the...
Like 240. The standard range? Or the,
yeah. Standard range plus Model Y.
It's...
I don't know. Shit. I'm in Canada right now, so I have the kilometer. Let me see. 250. They had 250 right now. So yeah, 240. Maybe a little bit lower than that. That will sell very well, no doubt about it. So yeah, Tesla can always bring that out as soon as they need it, but I think right now they're still, because they still have that a decent backlog of order from Model Y. Probably is just getting it to the person that can take delivery soon, so they're still adding new orders in order to do that.
Yeah, I was actually at the Chevy dealer today. I was returning my Chevy Bolt lease for 3 years. And they're just starting to get back up into shape. They, you know, they've got the whole interior of the dealership with tape on the floor, like where you can stand. Everybody's wearing the mask, that obviously. So it, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of lag time getting back up to speed for a lot of these people.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be, it's weird too. Like just with the mask, like even if they are reopening things in like dealership, like everything, the reopening is going to be slow because just with the mask, people just don't want to go out. Like right in LA, they reopened in dining, last week, in restaurant dining. Mm-hmm. But you need to wear a mask at all time that you're not eating. So it's just not a great experience. So people don't want to go, especially someone like me with wear glasses and stuff like that. Like
fog up your glasses, right?
Oh, I hate going to the grocery store. Like I hate it. It's a nightmare. You get hot, then fogs your glasses, and then also it's just so impersonal. Like seeing everyone with masks all the time. Like you get high contact with someone, and then it feels weird. Normally, you would crack a smile or something, but now like you don't see it.
Right.
So yeah, even like for a situation like that, it's going to be a slow return, even for dealerships and everything.
Ironically, the masks work out perfectly for protesting and, looting, you know, like it's kind of what you're going to wear if you want to protest. And I mean,
Well, I mean, for the looting, yeah, for protesting, it's just common sense. If you're, there's that many people around you, it makes sense to have the mask. But for the looting, yeah, I mean, people were quick to take advantage of that. The criminals were quick to take advantage of the mask thing early on in the pandemic. I remember hearing stories in March of people like doing like home invasion by knocking on the doors with mask on and everything. People are like more willing. You know, like I've done it. I don't know. I've opened my doors like 100 times in the last few months to people that are wearing masks. It's a weird experience. Like,
right.
Just like now I just do it like it's nothing. But I mean, I know that a few months ago I would never do that.
Right.
So when I said back, I'll talk you through the door, dude. All right. Another news that we reported this week, a strange one. It was a scoop, but a two and a half years old scoop. I still think it was worth mentioning because like no one has ever reported on it. No one knew about it. So I know that some of our readers are like, they like to go deep. So this is a deep one. It's an acquisition, a never reported acquisition of an automated manufacturing firm. It's called Compass Automation. So for this one, I need to thank a tipster. I think one is still anonymous. I don't want to say his name, but he sent me this job posting from Tesla in Elgin, Illinois, which is just outside of Chicago. And it was jobs relating to manufacturing. And they were asking, especially a kind of a weird position, electrical/mechanical machine builder. That's the name of the position. And Tesla says that person will be responsible for building our automation equipment and occasionally installing and supporting it at our Tesla facilities. Tasks include performing mechanical assembly, electrical panel wiring, field wiring, troubleshooting, and machine integration for industrial automated equipment. So as the tipster sends that, he's like, yeah, that's weird. Why would you have Tesla have a job like that in Elgin? Which I agree, like this normally manufacturing position for Tesla would be in Fremont in around California, or like in Grohmann in Germany, or also Purbix, Minnesota, that Tesla bought. So why Elgin? Looking into it, there was one company in Elgin, Compass Automation, that did a similar thing, the automated manufacturing. So I started digging on that and found out that, yes, indeed, Tesla bought that company back in December 2017. They were, according to a source, they were particularly interested in the president and CEO of the company, who's a MIT engineer, mechanical engineer. He was in charge of the company, and Musk was impressed by his capability. And we know that Musk has had this big focus on manufacturing the last few years. He's been talking about this machine that builds a machine, and he wants Tesla to become this manufacturing juggernaut. And they went really on a hiring spree and an acquisition spree for a while, because just around the same time that They bought Compass Automation. They bought Perbix in Minnesota. And that one Tesla announced. That was one of the acquisitions that Tesla announced. And but around the same time, they were acquiring Compass Automation, which was a decent-sized company, too, with a bunch of engineers, and they had a bunch of clients in the auto industry and a bunch of other industries. But Tesla took them over, and they hired that guy. And, like, I'm so sorry about that guy, but Brian Grivskis. can I pronounce his last name, unfortunately? And now that guy is director of what's his role? I had it somewhere here.
It's like director of automation or something.
Yeah, director of automation development engineering at Tesla. And he still worked out of the Illinois facility that Compass had. And now apparently Tesla is even expanding there because they had three new positions for engineers there. So interesting stuff. So yeah, the goal of the buying Compass was to have that guy, Grivsky. Sorry if I mispronounced that. Just help Tesla build their new facility, the new factories, including like Nevada. Well, at that point, Nevada was still growing, and Berlin now, and even Shanghai. So they develop all the automation equipment, and I have the list here of they were working on basically everything, but they were focused on they had two areas of focus, which was automated assembly and automated inspection. So really just robots doing the work, which is particularly useful these days because it's harder to get people inside factories.
Yep.
Speaking of Tesla factories, there's this rumor going around of Tesla looking with the UK government to have a factory in England. So I classify this as a rumor because the information is pretty vague. Property Week was the one that they reported on that Tesla is looking for a large facility in the UK for manufacturing and research and development. They said it was Tesla, but at the same time, they quoted the Department of International Trade saying that they are the ones that are really looking for a facility to offer Tesla. And the DIT, the Department of International Trade, they only confirmed that they are indeed looking for a place for electric vehicle manufacturing, but they didn't confirm that it's from Tesla. So it could still be for another company that they're looking.
It's not Dyson.
It's not Dyson for sure, but I mean, Jaguar could be it. Jaguar Land Rover.
That's true.
There could be other options too. And I know that Charge. You remember Charge, that Mustang building company?
Oh, yeah.
That apparently those people have money. Like it's happening. They are building a facility and everything. So maybe those people are looking to have an Arrival. Arrival is building delivery vehicles. Like they had the 10,000 unit order from UPS. They are also England based. So there's a bunch of. I mean, it's growing the EV industry in the UK. But yeah, there's this rumor that it was actually Tesla, but Property Week never said why they said it. They say it's Tesla. You just quote that DIT thing about a facility, a 4 million square foot facility for electric vehicle manufacturing and research and development. So I don't know. We'll keep an eye on it. If anyone knows anything about it, can reach out. I'll look into it. But so far, I'll classify this as a rumor. Neo, we had some news about Neo this week that I thought was interesting, and a lot of people did too because that was a popular article this week. They announced that they completed 500,000 battery swaps on their cars in China, which is like a big milestone for for battery swaps because, I mean, a lot of people tried before and never worked. Like I remember, like Better Place folded trying to build a system around battery swapping on cars, though they didn't have like a car themselves. Like they were trying to partner with companies and everything, so they were like in a precarious situation to start with. Then there was Tesla that tried their own, but they just opened one station, and there's some legit argument that could be made that Tesla was trying to get around some regulation to get more credit as part of the CARB program, the ZEV program.
I've heard that argument too. I was surprised when I heard it, and I haven't looked into it a lot more, but it's pretty interesting.
I mean, it looked like if they just had that facility, it did give them 4 more credits per cars, which can be worth like, I think it was at that point was worth like $4,000 more. So it wouldn't make sense for all the California sales to get $4,000 more out of them just to have this one facility. And then they never did anything more with that one facility and they ended up shutting it down. So, you cannot confirm it, but the argument is solid in my opinion. But yeah, NIO. Is that how you pronounce that? NIO, yeah?
I think so.
NIO?
Yeah.
So NIO has been doing it for years. They even have how many stations? They have 131 stations, power swap. They call it battery swap station, yeah, in China. And it completed on May 25th, it completed the 500,000 battery swap. So they got something going. You know, like they convince... they managed to convince owners to do that. And it's not easy because you're leaving like arguably the most valuable part of your car behind when you do that. I know that they have this like Renault-like, like the Renault Zoe where they sell you the car, but they don't sell you the pack and they rent the pack for you. Mm-hmm. But I think they canceled that after a while. So if they had that, I think it makes sense why it was popular. And maybe they still have a bunch of owners on that program. So that might be why... there's still a lot of people using the battery swap station. But also, I know that they have this other thing that it's like a battery rental. Like you can get a bigger battery pack with more energy density for longer trips. So like if you know you're going on a road trip, you can go swap your battery pack for a longer one and you rent that one by the day until you come back and get it.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Like most battery swap doesn't make sense. Because you could just charge really fast, and it probably makes sense for Tesla to focus on getting the charging time down. I mean, right now you can charge 200 miles of Model 3 in about 10, 15, 20 minutes, and the battery swap station is a little bit quicker, but not that much quicker. And you do need to go to the bathroom and do all that stuff. So, I think for most people, charging is fine. But as you said, like, why are you driving? Like, I ask myself this all the time. Like, why am I driving around, a huge battery pack all the time when really I kind of only need, 20 miles a day. And in that rare instance where I want to go on a trip, I could, it'd be really nice if I could just go to a battery swap station, upgrade my, 20 kilowatt hour battery to 100 kilowatt hour battery, go on that trip, come back and get my regular battery. It's not just about like having this, huge capacity that I'm not really using, but it's like, it's also super heavy. Like I don't need all that weight in my car. I don't need all that, stuff. Like I could do a lot better with like a 20 kilowatt hour pack most days. So, I kind of wish that battery swap was still an option. And, if the other automakers want to really take on Tesla, one thing that they could do is kind of standardize the batteries so that, GM's actually going a long way into this. But if GM could just like, put a bigger battery into your car, that would be kind of a cool thing. If GM's, Ford's, whatever. Battery swap makes sense for some things, but for trips, it just seems to be getting like charging is really all you need.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when, as it gets faster, like, once, like most cars get that 350, like which right. looks very likely at this point. We know that a few people are working on that. Like 350 looks achievable. Once you have that, I mean, it's basically all you need.
Right.
Battery swap, though, where I see it really as value is for commercial vehicles, like a commercial fleet, like a truck. If you can have like easily swappable battery pack in that, I think that makes a ton of sense because. So it's not public station battery swap, but like a private one. Like if you operate, like you have a warehouse and let's say Amazon, for example, let's say that Rivian truck, a van or something, it's going out for the day and then it's coming back at that warehouse. So you could just have a bunch of battery packs that you can swap between all your different vans. And charge them at the location while the van is still out there and doing what it does. So I think that makes a ton of sense. I know that Lyon Electric, Lion Electric, they are better known for their electric school buses. Mm-hmm. They also have trucks now, or at least they're building trucks program, and that's part of the programs. They want to be able to swap battery packs with a lift. What do you call that? Like warehouse machine, forklifts. Yeah, forklifts. You can do that with a forklift. You just open the side of the truck and you unplug the battery pack, and with the forklift you lift it up, get it out, charge it, put another one in, so you can get the trucks running all the time and charge the battery outside the trucks. I think that makes sense for that, because you own everything. You still own the battery pack. You still have the battery pack. You don't leave it behind anywhere. So yeah. I think that's an interesting application for battery swap. Rivian. We had a report this week on the Rivian Adventure Network, which I think is exciting, because they are hiring a bunch of staff from Tesla, Tesla Supercharger Network, to build their own charging network. So we know that, at least based on the prototype unveiled a few years ago, Rivian is going with CCS. So we thought that they're probably going to just go the way that most automakers are going right now, which is to rely on third-party networks and public charging station. But apparently Rivian is going to build its own network, maybe not as extensive as the supercharger one, but still their own stations. And it's called the Rivian Adventure Network. And they're going to focus on, because of the adventure aspect to it, and that's how they've been marketing their trucks. Like, you can go on adventures with those electric trucks. They're going to focus on more remote areas where you can have those adventures. Things like off-roading pit stops and national parks, and also like camping locations. Like you have fast chargers at camping, where you can, like, just, if you're towing like a mobile home or something, like just a living habitat, you can just drop that down at the camping location, supercharge your truck, and go on an adventure right away. And they hired Carrington Bradley. He's the new senior manager of charging development. And at Tesla, he was basically in charge of all the teams that were building out the new supercharger. So yeah, he was working with 11 project managers that were designing, permitting all those new superchargers. So that guy is going to be extremely valuable to Rivian, because he basically has the entire process that Tesla had to rapidly deploy the new station, because that's complicated. You have to work with a bunch of different vendors, the contractors, electric utilities. It's a difficult process. And Tesla, arguably, even though they're not perfect, I mean, we know that the supercharger rollout has been slower than they wanted to, but you could argue that they have it down the best as anybody else. So that guy's going to be very useful to Rivian. And they also hire a few other that used to work on the supercharger program, including Kit Ahuja. He's now Rivian, the director of Rivian Adventure Network. He worked at Tesla. He was a manager at Tesla, and more recently works at EnelX, which also is in the charging business. And they also hired Sarah Esslinger as a senior product manager for charging infrastructure. And she worked on the Tesla charging infrastructure too for like 6 years. All those people worked at Tesla for years. So yeah, it's exciting. We heard from one source that it would be 200 kilowatts and charge two vehicles at once with split capacity. But Rivian told me that these specs are not what is planned for the final version. So that might be what they are telling people right now, but it's not what it's going to be at the end. So we'll see about that. If you remember, when they first unveiled the R1T, they said that they could charge up to 160 kilowatts with an onboard charger of 11 kilowatt. But it's exciting. It's more charging capacity, and it looks like they're going to focus on underserved areas probably. So
how come Rivian can do this and GM and Ford and everybody else can't do it?
Because they're smarter. I don't know. It's not the easiest path to. Like, it's certainly easier to just... So if you don't care, like, Rivian has the big advantage that Tesla had for years, which is they don't have a gasoline business. They don't have all of that baggage behind you, just right. have EVs. So they just focus on, like, let's make the best EV out there, have the best EV experience out there. And that includes having some ownership of the charging experience to a degree. And the established automakers like Ford, like GMs, they just don't think of it as much like that. They're more like, it's more like a second thought. Like, all right, we're making EVs now. We need to also figure out what we're going to do about charging. You know what? There's plenty of third-party public charger station we can partner with.
Oh, got a weird voice there. Maybe your mic is coming out again. The one thing I found kind of nutty when I picked up the Chevy Bolt was that one of the GM people I talked to there, he said he wouldn't buy a Bolt, which, you know, if you're the Bolt guy and you wouldn't buy a Bolt, that's a problem. But he wouldn't buy a Bolt because he had to drive from Detroit to Chicago to visit his parents, and there wasn't a charging station there. And I was like, well, why don't you put a fast charge? Like, you're GM, like, you should be able to go from Detroit to Chicago in your car. Like, what's the deal? And he was like, I don't know, you know, too much red tape, too much whatever. And that's the problem. Like, you build this car and there's not a great CCS combo network. Now the network's certainly getting a lot better. Just recently, like within the last year, they actually put a fast charging station between San Francisco and LA, like the two biggest cities in California on the 5. I mean, you could go on the 101 and there's a couple charging stations there, but like, come on, guys, like, this is the one place that, like, between San Francisco and Los Angeles, that you obviously need a network. And I believe Electrify America is the one who put it there. But like, the charging station companies and the auto companies have two totally different objectives. The charging station companies go into places and they're like, you know, give us a subsidy, give us, you know, free electricity, give us, or, you know, reasonably priced electricity. Otherwise, we're not going to put something in there. And all these municipalities will do that, but nobody really needs a fast charger in the middle of a municipality. You need it like in the middle, you know, of two big cities. So long story short, it's really good to see Rivian kind of jumping on this for their users.
Can you hear me? Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. That was weird. I don't know what happened with the mic, but started making like some crazy sounds. Seems to be working right now. So yep, that's good. All right. Next one is, it's something that I've been saying for a while now. I've been saying that 2021 is going to be the year of electric vehicles. It's going to be the one that's going to basically put EVs like mainstream everywhere. And I've been saying that for years, but now we're just 6 months out and I'm more confident than ever. And I put out this list just to give you like an idea of why this is going to be it, of just 10 new, like either more than 10 coming next year, but just 10 new EVs that are scheduled for next year. And if we just go through that list real quick, I think that's just going to give you a sense of that, the change that's going to happen on the market next year. I'm putting a little caveat on this. Like, it's 2021. It's slipping maybe a little bit 2022 because of the pandemic. Like, I put this on the pandemic because I think there's a few of those programs that I'm going to mention that either the launch is going to slip to 2022 or at least the higher volume production might slip into 2022. So either ones. But still, next year is going to be massive for the EV industry. Starting with the F-150 electric, that's obvious. The biggest selling passenger vehicle that happens to be a truck in the US, now it's going electric. That's a big deal on its own. We don't have that many details on it right now, so we don't know like how significant the program is going to be. But the thing is they're going to have to compete with the Cybertruck on that, which is also a big vehicle program that's supposed to come next year. So we assume that the two together competing against each other is going to be a big deal. Like, it's going to create this really competitive market for electric pickup trucks that should hopefully still some market shares in the diesel and gasoline truck market. Because we know the specs and the price on this one, and we know it's attractive, like starting at $40,000, going up to $70,000 with 500 miles, that's a big deal. We just talked about the Rivian R1T. It was actually supposed to launch this year, but they confirmed that it slipped to next year. Now I'm fairly confident it's going to come out next year. And I mean, I don't think it's going to be as high volume as the F-150 or the Cybertruck, but it still have a decent impact on the market, in my opinion, because they're supposed also to reduce the price now that they have to compete with the Cybertruck.
Pretty racy ad there.
Yeah, what's that? Maston Labs, part of...
I don't know.
Yeah, figure what that one is.
Thanks.
GMC Hummer EV. All right, this one is not a high volume one for sure, but it's more like a symbolic one, I think. Like, it's going to be like the Hummer brands go all electric. I think that's a big deal to a degree. But yeah, it's not going to be, it's going to be a more expensive truck. And it's more, I think it's more like so that GM can say, hey, we're making electric trucks, dude.
Right.
While everybody else is like all in it. This one is going to be a big one too. I think the Audi Q4 e-tron. It's going to be smaller. It's going to be like a Mall Y competitor. And we know that's a huge segment, the small SUV crossover segment. And Audi's going to have an entry in it. And apparently they want it to be competitive because we learned just a few weeks ago that it might start at just $45,000. So I know that's still not cheap, but it's getting there. And you'll see we're going to get another like small SUVs that are going to be cheaper coming out in 2021. The QA is going to be like GM's entry in the same segment, competing with the Audi Q4, the Model Y. We don't have a price on that one, but we expect to be similar. The Nissan Ariya. This one we've been waiting for forever. Arguably the second electric vehicle from Nissan. I know that it's the van there too, but like passenger car. These guys were early on the market with the Leaf 2011, nothing until 2021. But I say it's the Ariya, but actually it's going to be a vehicle based on the Ariya. I don't think it's going to have that name. That was like the concept. And I think toward the end of the year, they want to unveil the production version. And next year, they're going to unveil, they're going to start delivering it. So in 2021, we're going to have an electric SUV from Nissan. And Nissan, I think Model 3 might have beat it right now, or they are close to, but was the, for the longest time, the best-selling EV out there. So they have some experience here. And that car should start at closer to $40,000. So
that's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. That's I think it's going to be more competitive with the Kona maybe and the Niro. They might find, I think it's going to be a higher production program than those two. The ID4, that's the same segment, but maybe a little bit like the Ariya, like the Nissan one. It's like cheaper than the Model Y, Audi Q4 and the Mercedes EQA. But this one is like, it is important for the reason too, because like we know that Volkswagen is investing in heavily in the MEB platform, starting with the ID3. But the ID3 is not a global vehicle; it's for the European market. The ID4 is the first VW based on their new electric platform that's going to be global. They're going to actually produce it in the US starting next year, so we're really excited about that one. And that one should be on the cheaper side too. We're talking. Some people have been talking maybe like 35 for the base model. I'm not sure about that. I would expect closer to 40, but that would be that's a massive vehicle program that's going to be launched. I'm sure they are aiming for hundreds of thousands of units per year. So that's going to be exciting. BMW iNEXT is coming next year too. GM has been touting that model forever. They said that it was like they positioned it as their Tesla killer. It's going to be a Model Y competitor. So more like the Q4 too, and the Mercedes EQA. They've been talking at about a $45,000 price on it, so decent. Like it's going to be competitive with the lower end version of the Model Y. And they've been talking about a crazy range for it. Like at one point, they were saying 435 miles. More recently, they revised that to 360 miles, which would still be pretty high. So I'm interested to see what comes out of the production version. The EQS. This one a little bit less excited about. It's like more of a Model S competitor, like luxury sedan. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be have high performance, but it's coming next year. Here I have the picture of the concept of the EQS.
It's not going to look like that.
Not at all. Like it's going to be a much more toned down version, closer to an S-Class feeling, much more like the EQC looks like a Mercedes SUV. The EQS is going to look like a Mercedes sedan, but it's going to have decent spec. They've been talking about 400 miles range on the WLTP. That's a decent range here. You're going to get over 350 on the EPA with that. But yeah, if you look at just that list, and that's not the whole list, like just 10 coming next year, there's a bunch of other ones too. I think it's going to be the year of the electric vehicle for sure. It's going to change the business. It's going to make it like all these cars are not just new EVs. They're going to be most likely the best vehicle you can buy in each of those segments, regardless of the powertrain. So then at that point, a lot more people are going to start thinking when buying a new car is like, should I go? Like, does it make sense to go with a gasoline car now? Like everything coming out with, they're all electric. They all like, it's what everyone is talking about. It's going to change a lot of things, I think.
I agree. And it's about time.
Yes, for sure. But again, with the caveat that maybe 2022 is going to be where the volume comes in, because a lot of those vehicles are slated for late in 2021, especially the trucks, the Cybertruck, the F-150, even the GMC Hummer. They're all late 2021. The Rivian might be the one that comes the quickest. But yeah, that's it for the news this week. Let's go into the questions if we have some.
All right, yeah, we have a few. Star Warsman, how many Boring automated machines does Elon own in production for Boring tunnels? I think they're made like spec at the site. Like, don't they? And then disassemble?
No, they move them. They disassemble and move them. Yeah, okay. I think like they are three in use or something like that right now. I know they have one on the East Coast that they had for a while. Not sure if it's still there though. But yeah, I mean, they have one, like what's great right now, like with the Las Vegas project, it makes so much sense. It's like they have one right now there. They completed the excavation of the tunnel for the convention center. So now they're just like, we have it there. Like that's already some cost down. Let's just start digging through, connecting more things to it. And apparently the first one's going to be the Encore, which is a Wynn casino and hotel. It's basically the hotel on the strip that it's closest to the convention center. So they just, let's connect it to it. And then once they're done with that, they're going to probably approach the city and the next hotel. And like, you want to connect it to that too? And yeah, just keep doing that. Like, it's just,
we've got
so
some
much
stuff
sense
down there. Might as well keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they bury those things too after they're done boring.
Yeah. I've heard that. Like, the multi-million-dollar machine is like, it's too big, cause too much to move. Let's just leave it there.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they break them too, though. Like they probably, if you,
yeah, they don't want somebody digging it out.
Yeah.
So that the picture shows six people in a lightly used car, so it could easily fit 12 or over 20 if they stand. Yeah. He's referring to that
that glass people mover that Boring Company unveiled. If you,
all right, Jim Whitehead says, look how packed New York City subways are. I've been on a subway car with over 20 people and didn't like it. To each their own. Yeah, certainly there's people like that. All right, with the math now, Tesla car of four rows of three seats each would be, make a Tesla station wagon narrow to fit in tunnels. Zach says, how much is Big Subway paying Seth? Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, you do lobby a lot for them, right?
I'm expecting my paycheck any day now. Google Ponzi, Elon is talking about the public transit in California.
Oh, so I think that was regarding your comment. I've never taken the subway in California.
I'll go get that quote. It was a podcast with Kara Swisher. I'll figure it out.
That would make more sense because I've been in California for a while. I never took the subway either.
You never took the subway in L.A.?
No.
Like downtown?
No. My girlfriend has taken the subway here and she never had a good experience on it. So I'm not encouraged to do it.
It's good when you're, you know, out drinking downtown. You don't have to drive. Adam Order says, any chance Elon will talk solid state batteries on battery day?
That'd be surprising to me. Yeah. I know that they have some chemistries that get closer to what people call solid state, but it's not quite there yet. So there might be some talks that looks like that, but I don't think it's purely a solid state.
All right. Brandon Fouts is four rows of three abreast equals 12. These guys with the math. If autopilot can do tunnels, it would be fine.
Yeah, that's the idea. If you make the interior much more minimal, though this is already quite minimal, You could fit one more row in there. Yeah, that's not impossible.
All right, battery day. Joel Sapp says, when is battery day? And he whispers about the date, June or July, question mark. What do you think? If you had to guess a battery day date, would you say, what, July?
I mean, I have to rely on what Elon is saying right now. And it's some kind of webcast in June and then a live event a month or two later, which is a weird combination of things to do. But, I mean, what's not weird these days?
Right. Brandon Fouts, Model X tows one or two Model X passenger shells, three vehicle train with only the front vehicle power and batteries. Yeah, makes
sense. That's not crazy.
Right.
And that's see that. I doubt that's going to be the case, but yeah, could see it.
Wonder how the Cybertruck would hold up against rowdy rioters. Nothing to burn, steel body, almost bulletproof glass. I don't know.
Well, a bunch of police department have been thinking about buying them, though they're being defunded now, so they might they might have some issues buying it.
Star Warsman, how many people live in one city and work in 150 to 100 miles away?
Not that many.
I'm sure there's some stats on that.
Yeah, but 50 miles to 100 miles, that start to be on the that's far away.
I mean, like, so my personal thing, like, now I have kids in school and we're kind of stuck where we are, but like, when I was living in LA, I would get a job in Santa Monica. I just moved to Santa Monica. Like, yeah. I was renting. Like, if I had a job in Hollywood, I would move to Hollywood.
Mm.
Like, sitting in an hour of traffic every day, each way, is like, it's the worst possible thing in the world. Even if you have autopilot, you still have to, like, be in a car for, you know, 2 hours a day. This doesn't seem like a great way to live your life. Now, for instance, if I got a job right now and I had to go an hour, I'd probably have to stick with it because my kids are in school, you know, wife's here, we have friends. But, yeah, I don't know. JK, maybe they will be used to help SpaceX set up automated rocket factory. 20 Tesla engineers are said to be loaned out to SpaceX, I think.
Yeah, there might be some truth to that to a degree. I mean, we heard, like, in the last filings that not only the 20 Tesla engineers went to work at SpaceX, but also SpaceX hired Tesla to build some specific tools because they have the machine to do it that SpaceX don't. So we're seeing a lot of synergy between Tesla and SpaceX. But I think now that we learn about this possible, like, electric van, we might see even more synergy between Tesla and Boring Company. That could be interesting.
Yeah, especially as Boring Company starts to ramp up.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Fouts is back. Can't imagine a worse place than UK for manufacturing. They do have a reputation, but when many old makers' factories must be cheap, but they are they worth buying? Import to EU? Seems EU would lean to production of Germany, France, and Italy. Kind of just rambling there.
I mean, one thing that I forgot to mention when we talk about the rumor of a UK factory for Tesla, when Elon announced that Tesla is going to Berlin for the Gigafactory in Europe, he did say that they considered UK, but they said that because of Brexit, was too risky. That was his word, too risky.
Right.
So that's where I was also part of making the rumor, making me a little bit skeptical about the rumor. But at the same time, like, Tesla is talking about so many expansion, like new battery factories and everything like that. So they might be looking, and especially now with a lot of manufacturer being scared of the UK and wanting to leave the UK, maybe Boris and his friends are like, all right, let's attract Tesla and let's give Tesla a big check to come to the UK, big incentives, and maybe that will help convince people to come or stay in the UK for manufacturing.
All right. Jose F. is asking, what are your Tesla sources saying about production numbers?
I haven't heard anything about the production numbers per se, but yeah, it's I would expect going back to normal by the end of the quarter. Normal is in the 6,000 units combined right now.
All right. So cost and time to swap battery. So we're talking about battery swap again, maybe the biggest problem experienced BEV user can imagine, but only some, and it is a small group so far.
Well, Neil was talking about like 3 minutes.
Right. And Tesla did the 90-second one.
Yeah. And I think the cost of it is in the cost of renting the battery. So I don't think like they charge for that. So I don't see that being a big problem.
All right. Devil Friend says, we know about Cybertruck range, but what what would you imagine the battery pack sizes would be and how it could affect Tesla's margins? So there's three different sizes for...
There's a 250 mile. There's a, well, they always say over 250 mile, over 300 miles, and over 500 miles. So for that size vehicle, I would imagine that... I mean, 250, it cannot be under 100 kilowatt hour, probably.
That's what I would... 100...
100...
500,
200. So repeat that. 100, you would do 100, 150, 200?
So no, the 500 mile range is probably a 200 kilowatt hour battery. Like the 250 mile range is a 100 mm-hmm. kilowatt hour battery. And 300 is probably like a 110, 120 kilowatt hour battery.
Yeah. And even then on 100 would be on the low side, I think. Like, yeah, we just don't know really the efficiency of that truck, but I would assume that it's not that efficient. Yeah.
There's going to be other things to consider, like those tires. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure the EPA truck, or sorry, the one that they give to the EPA to test out, it's not going to have those big, you know, huge tready tires. It'll probably have, you know, the very low resistance tires. So
yeah, I'm a standard one that has to be lower resistance than whatever was on that truck. On the prototype one was insane.
So when will Rivian need their adventure charger network? 2023, Amazon comes first, right? I think they're going to start delivering vehicles at the beginning of next year. So,
yeah, and for the charging network, we heard that the first stations are going to come online next year. So might be a slow rollout, though, but yeah, you're going to be able to use them next year.
Oh, yeah. So this is something we didn't talk about, but Germany announced this week that they're ruling that all petrol stations will have to have charging stations on them. So that's a big deal, but there's a huge caveat there. They didn't say what kind of charging stations. And of course, you know, a level two charging station is like $400 and a level three charging station is like $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
So my feeling is that they're going to try to all get by with having a level two charging station, which everybody knows is pointless at a gas station. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to spend 4 hours, you know, browsing mm-hmm. the various types of bubble gum and chips. So this is frustrating to me. I would rather have fast charging everywhere, and gas stations really don't need to exist, you know, in the future. In my opinion, you could put these at like a, you know, stores or whatever. So I don't think the legislation's good. It's mm-hmm. that their heart is in the right place, but I don't think it's going to turn out well. What mm-hmm. do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think those that will not survive will do what you just said. They will think, oh, we can just get by with a level two station, like, and get away with that. And those that will survive, they will see what's coming, and they will already put fast charging and try to phase out the gasoline to have fast charger and do what they do already now, which is basically like get the profit from the convenience stores and those things. So I think it's really the lifeline that the government told them, like gave them, forcing them to do that is like you wake up, you're gonna have to have that at some point, so do it now. And yeah, probably a lot of them will fail because they will do it wrong. Those do it right, they will maybe survive that transition.
Right. So Jim Whitehead says, do you guys have anyone or you who can test these electric bikes like the Cowboy Article One? We're testing electric bikes almost every day.
So
hit up the YouTube channel if you're not already here. Micah and Mikey are both like going crazy. And I've got actually a couple really interesting electric bikes reviews coming too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So Micah hooked me up with a, it's called Frey CC. And it's a road bike, not a road bike in the traditional sense, but it's for roads. and it's a full suspension and it goes like 35 miles per hour. So it's kind of like a motorcycle, mm-hmm. Kind of like a bike. Looks like a bike, drives like a motorcycle. And then nice. I got a Van Moof coming pretty soon. Like anytime now.
Those are the anti-theft ones?
Yes, but they don't have GPS. They have cellular, so I don't know how good that is. And then the third one is I'm getting a Juiced Scorpion, which is kind of like it looks like a moped.
Yeah, and I like that one. Yeah.
That one's coming Monday, so I'm excited about that. Yeah, so cool. we got a lot of stuff coming there.
Oh, yeah. E-bikes, we're not on a shortage of e-bikes reviews and
electric. No, and it's a great
time. If there's less than two a week, there's something wrong.
Right. If Mercedes had any cojones, they should make the cool prototype shown. It looks great and sleek. Yeah, but there's like a lot of things to consider there.
Yeah, that's what happens all the time. They always have those cool concepts, and then they come out and it looks like every car that's been made in the last 10 years.
Right. Aptera, what are we talking about here?
Aptera, it's a startup, I think, that they have this like super aerodynamic car. Or maybe a three-wheeler even?
Oh, yeah. No, I remember.
Yeah. I haven't looked into that in forever, but probably not that much news coming out of that.
All right, Double Friend. How many states do you guys think will be CARB states by the end of 2021? Very important for EV adoption. I would argue it's not super important.
No, not anymore. The standard is just not aggressive enough. So. Right. The technology is going to outpace the regulation quite soon.
Right. Mark Naughton says, high power buys GM atmospheric heat turbine producing more than any locomotives.
I'm not weird at all.
I think we were talking about trains at one point. Yeah. I don't like packed subways because there's a 50-50 chance you stand near a guy who stinks or lives in a cardboard box.
Okay. I don't like those odds, but okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's true at all. Eli DeChamp, is NIO a great investment? Can they scale up production? We don't give investment advice.
Yeah, we don't. I've never invested in NIO myself. I thought about it, especially when they crashed pretty hard. Right now, they seem to be like doing pretty well. Like the production is stable. I think they delivered more cars than ever last month, if I'm not mistaken. Like 3,500, something like that. So, and I like their cars. Like the two best looking Chinese EVs I know right now, like the ones that looks the best, not just looks, but they look like decent cars. They're not like cardboard boxes cars like we've seen sometimes in China. Or the Xpeng, though of course Xpeng has some issues like with Tesla, like they've been copying them a lot directly. NIO is its own company and they're doing some very nice vehicles. I really like them. Would I invest in them though? I don't know. I haven't looked into their financials enough.
All right, Google Ponzi. We test drove a performance Model Y a few hours ago. That's very recent. Yeah. It was so amazing. It took a few minutes to get used to the regenerative braking. We placed an order on the spot. May take up 2 months to get it. All right.
Yeah, it's going to depend on where you are, but yeah, good for you.
Nut Ali says, in Norway, many people wonder if the Model Y will be exported from USA or China if production is higher.
I'm looking into that right now, actually. That's a good point. I'm looking into that right now because some people are seeing an accelerated timeline in Europe right now. So much accelerated that it wouldn't make sense that it's coming from Berlin, which is what we've been hearing most recently, that the first Model Y coming to Europe would be actually made in Europe. But now with the timeline, some people are seeing like early 2021, something like that. That doesn't make sense for Berlin. So it's something to consider.
Jack Farrington, will Plaid Model S be officially unveiled at Battery Day? I think the timing is right for that.
What do you think? The longer it gets pushed, the more likely that is. Yeah.
All right. Oops, G, not GM. Sorry. All right. That's it.
Yeah, makes sense. All right. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. Thanks a lot for watching on YouTube. You can give us a thumbs up. That always helps us for some reason. You can get us subscribed to know when we are live next time. Though you also have to get the notification bell for that, not just the subscribe button. They make it hard. You just like it. And thanks a lot for listening on your podcast app. You can give us a 5-star review. That's always super useful too. We appreciate it. And we're going to see you same place, same time next week. Ciao.